Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And our topic today is Who Killed JFK? This is the 50th anniversary, which I don't know if anniversary is really the right word to use, but of the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. It was a gruesome murder in broad daylight. They actually blew part of his head off in front of his wife. His wife was sitting next to him in an open limousine. What were they thinking? In those days, I guess they weren't thinking to have a president riding in an open car. He was a moving target. And I was about, I guess, 14 years old at the time. I was in ninth grade, and we were sitting in our classroom, and all of a sudden it came over the loudspeaker that the president had been shot and that he was dead. And we were in shock. We were all in shock, and we were dismissed and went home and spent the next few days glued to the television set because it was one event after another. They brought the body back to Washington. It was laid out in the White House, and then we watched the murder of the supposed assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. But did Lee Harvey Oswald really kill President Kennedy? It's a mystery, and it's a mystery till this day. Of course, there are people that really know what happened. Will they ever tell the story? I don't know. And then, tragically, John F. Kennedy Jr. also had a mysterious death. They say that his plane crashed, and that was an odd event also. So I thought it was strange, too, when Caroline Kennedy was going to run, I think she was going to run for Senate in New York, and I thought she would be a really popular candidate. Now, I can't say I agree with her politics, but excuse me, I pressed the wrong button there. But anyway, she got so much bad press. Wow. They destroyed her in the press. And, of course, she never did run for the Senate. But I'm going to bring my guest on, Paul Jacobson, and we will be talking about this subject. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Thanks. Nice to hear you and be on with you, too. Thank you.
Yeah. And hi, everybody in the chat room. Brother Vincent from Black by Color Only, Brother Clifton, and our other guests, thank you for stopping by. And I want to remind you, too, that this is a live call-in program, 914-338-1638. And we will be taking your calls today if you have any questions about our topic today. So Paul, you've done quite a bit of research on this topic, haven't you?
Yeah, it used to be, especially all these details and all these different things used to be quite a preoccupation, yes.
Yeah, and I know I have done a little bit of research myself. There's quite a bit of information out there now, of course, since we have the internet. And there was a trial a few years ago by a man named Jim Garrison. And Jim Garrison was the district attorney of New Orleans, wasn't he?
Right. They basically destroyed his career afterwards, really didn't go anywhere because of, which they generally are able to do, is a very powerful cabal that we're talking about, really, that, in my opinion, opinion of many others, that did this horrible coup d'etat.
Yeah, the Jim Garrison, now, this is a sane person. This is a DA, and he did quite a bit of investigation on his own and came up with some CIA connections to this assassination, and they actually held a trial. Do you know much about that trial?
You know, that's something that I should know a lot about, but unfortunately, I think it's limited mostly to the movie version. You know, that's not exactly.
No, it's not
exactly
accurate.
A documentary. Yeah, it's a kind of a collage of different ideas that he's put into a movie, Oliver Stone. But
yeah.
I don't mean to dodge that question, but before I forget, you know, you were talking about JFK Jr. being, you know, mysteriously, obviously he died in a plane crash. Did you happen to know, you probably did, that he had planned to print a rather extensive, report about his father's death, just, you know, very soon. It was coming up soon before, you know, right after his plane crash. It was supposed to happen soon around that time. So it, another mysterious thing that
yeah, it was a mysterious. I thought it was a mysterious death, and I think it's also mysterious that they have closed up a lot of the information that they won't release it until, I don't know, 50 years or 75 years. Now, why they're doing that is strange. If there was nothing to hide, why won't you release all the information? And,
The people in charge of that information are undoubtedly the same people, the same cabal. So whatever gets released at that time, by that time, it's going to be so, you know, so what's the word, purified, or so it's going to be purged of the most indicting things, so that, you know, even families of these people cannot be held in disrespect in any. I'm quite sure. I mean, I'm projecting that. I'm predicting that, but. There's just so many people that die that were connected, that were witnesses, that soon thereafter and for years afterwards. But here's another thing that I just heard that makes more sense now. I always wondered why the insiders, the cabal, what I call the secret government. Please feel free to disagree with me, but obviously the secret government is being exposed as we talk. The NSA. And all these other creepy things that are happening, it's very clear that there's a sub-government, there's a group, a very large group, very powerful group that spies on any individual that they want, that records anything, that knows what's going on with private people's lives. And you know what? They've been doing it for a very long time. But here's something, Nixon. It's like, why did information come out about Nixon? Well, I just found out that in the White House, on one of the White House tapes, whether that's been purged now too, but, you know, some heavy-duty person, some person of high authority, said that he had mentioned the Warren Report as being basically, I have to paraphrase, but being basically a whitewash
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long after that that President Nixon had his problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I often wonder why they went after Nixon, because of course I don't agree with what he did, but it was hardly an impeachable offense compared to what's really going on behind the scenes. I think if we really knew, you know,
right,
we wouldn't be able to handle it. But that's why God has a government, you know. God has a government, and his government is not of this world, so.
Praise God. And it's really, you know, my whole reason for, thinking about this, that was the beginning of something very evil in our country. From that point on, it was very clear. The Supreme Court came down with many different rulings against Bible reading, et cetera, in schools and many other things. And I mean, they started publicly, you know, basically imposing their will after that. Something evil really happened.
Big change in we felt it after that. Things weren't quite the same, because there's something awful, truly awful about that kind of a crime against a president. And
this is something that might seem unrelated, but, and I might have said it before when I've been on, but and it might seem off the wall, but there are experts, people from within the Vatican. Now, this is Vatican related, so stop me if you have to. Paul, we're not going there. That'd be fine if you just tell me that. But there are people that believe in 1963. In fact, Pope Paul, the sixth was Pope, I believe, at the time, said himself that there was a ceremony to enthrone Lucifer in the Vatican. Now, obviously not all Catholics nor the Pope took place in this, but that would also explain, I mean, invoking even more evil upon the earth through an institution that you and I agree already does an immense amount of things that are antichrist. To me, there's a relationship. You know that I've tied some of this together in my own mind to the Jesuits as being part of you know, Eisenhower talked about a very powerful political industrial complex. Well, it got bigger than that, really. And then Kennedy, I believe the same year that in 63, he had a major speech in which it's online.
A clip of that, and I'm going to play it. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. We probably should play it now. This is his Secret Society speech. It was actually in 1961.
Oh, actually 61. Very good.
Yeah, it was in 61, and he was at with the group with reporters or newspaper people or whatever, and he was giving a speech. So I'm going to play this clip from JFK's speech. It's just about 2 minutes.
All right.
Yeah.
In every sphere of human activity, this deadly challenge imposes upon our society two requirements of direct concern, both to the press and to the president. Two requirements that may seem almost contradictory in tone, but which must be reconciled and fulfilled if we are to meet this national peril. I refer first to the need for far greater public information, and second, to the need for far greater official secrecy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, There is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. But I do ask... But I do ask every publisher, every editor, and every newsman in the nation to re-examine his own standards and to recognize the nature of our country's peril. In time of war, the government and the press have customarily joined in an effort based largely on self-discipline to prevent unauthorized disclosures to the enemy.
There we go.
Yeah.
This president, of course, was quite a speaker. Now, he had a very shady private life, which we knew nothing about at the time. But he was a great speech maker, and I think if people would go and listen to some of his speeches, he really seemed to speak from his heart. And his press conferences... He had press conferences quite often, and they were watched by millions of people. He engaged the press and was a very charismatic, I think one of the most charismatic presidents we've ever had. And, you know, there's just so much more to the story, because who would do such a thing where a man is riding in a car with his wife and his wife is sitting next to him, and all of a sudden these shots ring out and it was so brutal that they actually blew part of his head off that landed in his wife's lap. And now this woman had to live with this for the rest of her life, witnessing this event. And of course, this film, the Zapruder film, that part of the assassination was hidden from us for many years. We never saw the footage, which you could see it now. I can't bear to look at it, the footage of his head, part of his head being blown off.
Just this morning.
Yeah, and that's actually available now, but when the film first came out, we didn't see that part. And it was very gruesome. Now, imagine then the change in the whole attitude of the country, how we felt after that. Things were never the same after that. It was one more assassinations years later of Bobby Kennedy and Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. Jr. Shootings at college campuses, college students being gunned down. We had the Kent State event. The introduction of LSD and many drugs into society, where we never saw these things before, the whole hippie movement. So society really changed after that. Abortion became legal. So it had a big impact.
I believe that this group that we're talking about, in particular, you know, the Supreme Court and other courts that are also very much, I mean, I can't speak to every single member, but
in every sphere,
I started sounding like John Kennedy.
Yeah, I know. My cursor keeps going over to those buttons. Sorry, everybody.
No problem. I think it's funny. But the change, you know, went over a large, the huge portion of our, what I call our secret government. I just heard, you know, one person talking about how America is like, obviously some preachers have been talking about how America is like Babylon. And others are, you know, strongly against that. But, you know, we have secret societies that really their roots go back to Babylon. They go back to exactly their worship, their basic belief system goes back to Egypt, which belief systems came from Babylon. And, you know, we're talking about high-ranking Freemasonry. We're talking about, I mean, both the Bushes, or the Bush family, they came out of Yale, and that whole skull and bones thing, that's high Freemasonry. And their basic, even though it's not well known, their basic allegiance is to, here I'm being very, what's the word, whatever it is, it goes to the Pope. They take a blind allegiance to someone during a ceremony, and a figment of the Pope is there, or a figment of actually the Black Pope of the head of the Jesuits. This is who basically created Freemasonry and these other major groups. Now, the head of the FBI was a high-ranking Freemason, and we're talking about the highest echelon, not the low members that are kept, that are like mushrooms, you know, they're kept in the dark and they're fed certain hummus. I won't say the other word, but this is what we're up against, and it's very prevalent. I think the last time I was on, I said this. I have a friend or a person that I know of who claims to be a Knights Templar, and he was in. You know, I let him know that I was a Christian. Actually, made contact through my daughter and her friend who's this was his stepdad, and I got to stay at their house. He was perfectly nice to me. He was wearing a tattoo of a dragon on his chest, a red dragon, and I just, you know, began asking questions of what's this all about. He served in the military. He was a Marine and a very special ops that did secret things. He wouldn't tell me exactly what he did, but yeah. he did eventually tell me that the dragon is God. That's what he had to tell me. The big secret was that the dragon had appeared to him in a dream, and very clearly, and he just had to tell me this. And it's like, you know, I let him know, look, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And after that, things just sort of, he stopped.
But yeah.
He told me another very important thing, that many or most of the officers in at least the Marines that he knows of are Freemasons. It's a very tight, I mean, we're talking about a very tight group of people that are in charge of our government. And other subgroups, cults. Then you have Satanists that are in high places. There was just one program that I watched where there was a Satanist that was abducting women and drinking their blood until they died, slowly drinking their blood until they died. I'm sorry for the gruesome part of it, but he worked for our government, had high clearance, and worked for our government.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I can't remember his name, but I remember seeing something like that. I think he was actually holding these services for the military. They had a branch of that church.
Of Satan.
Yeah.
The Church of Satan, that's just openly part of, you know, where there's
members.
Yeah,
they're allowed to hold services, yeah. For instance, the Washington Monument is a obelisk, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, I'm not sure, but, and also
obelisk,
okay, thank you. And this is an Egyptian symbol, and it's also, if you notice, in Rome, in St. Peter's Square, they have the same symbol.
Right.
And it's not by accident that they have these tall, pointy things.
Right. With a dome,
it,
with
it means
dome at
something.
Right,
yeah.
With a dome at the other end, just like they have at the Capitol Dome. And
yeah,
they have
right.
The Dome of St. Peter's. And
yeah.
Then they have the phallic symbol of the obelisk. I mean, but this goes way back, you know.
Yeah, it goes way back to Egypt, yeah. And, of course,
and
now we have this wolf in sheep's clothing, Francis the Pope. And
right.
He goes about doing good deeds. And then they've got a real good PR machine going where I think a week or so ago they said that there was a bishop who was living in a mansion and they called him the Bishop of Bling. And he's been demoted because he's not supposed to have a mansion. And they've got this whole PR campaign going now that you're supposed to believe that they really are concerned about the poor. And
right.
Pictures of him laying hands on people. Yeah, well, they have a 10,000, I think it's a 10,000 room palace there.
Right.
So if they're so concerned about the poor, like, why aren't they selling the palace and selling the artwork, the gold and the gold chalices and the gold vestments and the diamond studded chalices? And, you know,
right.
Don't believe what you see. You can't believe what you see.
Well, they say
you better not fall for it. You know, you better not.
Well, then,
you better
then
not
I, then
fall
I know that,
for it.
Right, exactly. Well, and then I don't know how you feel about Thomas Horn. Are you familiar with the books out that Thomas Horn has written?
Yeah,
about?
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan, okay.
No, I'm not a fan of,
okay.
I think, to me, I don't buy Tom Horn and Chris Putnam because they have an agenda, and I'm not 100% with their teachings. I'm a little disturbed about their promotion of the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jasher,
yeah.
And these books that are not biblical. We don't have any business delving into those books. But anyway, there's even information out on the internet about this Catholic connection to the murder of John F. Kennedy. And
mm-hmm.
at that time, they were escalating the war in Vietnam.
Right.
Or they were trying to escalate it. See, I know I've read about this, and I don't remember everything 100%, but the president of Vietnam was a Catholic at the time.
Diem, right.
He was, yeah. And, of course, most of the Vietnamese people, I think, were Buddhists.
Right.
And the Catholic Church is big on converting people. They like to own countries. They like to have their churches in the countries. Who's richer than them? Nobody's richer than them. Right in my own county right here, there's 7 or 8 huge Catholic churches worth multiple millions of dollars, and this is only one county. So if you imagine the real estate holdings alone are in the trillions of dollars. So who's richer than them? Nobody.
Nobody. And what could be worse, though, is that between our CIA and the Vatican, their connections to their intelligence agency, the Vatican's intelligence agency, is the Jesuits. They
yeah,
are the
that's their intelligence agency, yeah. And don't be fooled also, you talked about the Knights Templar, but there's also the Knights of Malta.
Right.
And we have such evangelical so-called figures such as Rick Joyner, Ricky Skaggs, and Mahesh Chavda, to name a few, who belong to this secret Catholic organization, the Knights of Malta.
Well, that's
so,
they're all under the Jesuits. They
yeah, they're
to
all,
the Jesuits.
Yeah, and they're all, so you wonder, you have to wonder why there's so much false teaching in the church and there's so much deception. because it is meant to be that way. That's what they want to do. They promote false teachings and false doctrines, and they don't try to hide who they are. They tell you, I'm a Knight of Malta, and
it's not a secret.
It's
hidden in plain sight in a lot of churches.
Yeah, it's hidden in plain sight, right.
In plain, because like in Freemasonry, they use symbols. Well, there's a lot of occult symbols in cathedrals. I mean,
yeah,
right
there is.
You can go go online and find these occult symbols. And because Catholicism is, and I'm not condemning Catholics, and neither are you, but you know, Catholicism is a mishmash. From the fourth century, it's a mishmash. They basically, you know, it's the reason we celebrate Christmas. I'm not against Christmas, but on the 25th, it was a pagan holiday, and they decided to, you know, they paraded all these other pagan religions under the umbrella of Christianity. Well, guess what? You know, and I know that they're busy doing it right now. You got people like Rick Warren helping to promote, maybe not as openly as he used to, something called Chrislam. I mean, some of the most perverse kind of thinking where you can possibly think that you can be a Christian and also practice Islam, or that, you know, that it's the same God, that Allah is the same God as Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, the Islamists are laughing all the way, you know, to the chopping block, because
that's why we need to, we better know the word of God, because in these days, Jesus said that, you know, evil was going to wax worse and worse, and we're seeing it. I was in England many years ago in the 90s, and at that time there was a story in, I think, the Daily Mail or the Daily Telegraph, where they were building a center there in London, and it was a listening center. It was going to be based there, and they were going to be monitoring phone calls from all over the world. So it's nothing new. It just happens to be that it's become more publicized in the last few months. But it's been going on for a long time. It wasn't a secret. It was in the newspaper, like I said. And they actually showed the building. It wasn't one building, but it was these mushroom-looking things. And so it was no secret.
Right, these big dome things. Yeah, 30 years ago.
Yeah,
30 years ago.
Well,
there was news in certain publications about.
Yeah, in certain countries, they actually showed the picture of the place, and they explained what they're doing. So it's nothing new. It's kind of like, there's that saying where they say order out of chaos. And
order,
I was thinking
cow,
about.
Right.
Yeah, and. It's kind of like what's going on with the this Obamacare. Now, who spends $600 million to build a website and it doesn't work? Now, come on.
Right.
I wasn't born yesterday. Maybe there's a lot of people that were born yesterday, but there's more to the story. I don't know what it all involves yet, but there's more to the story. And I think, like we were saying about JFK at this time, this war in Vietnam, he was going to pull back. He did not want to escalate the war there.
Exactly.
And the history, from what I read, was that the I think a general or somebody went to Vietnam and they did something behind his back that he asked them not to do, that Kennedy asked them not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back. Do you know that story?
Well, they killed Diem. The CIA killed Diem. They killed the president. I can't imagine that.
Was that after Kennedy was assassinated or before?
No, I believe that was before, but Diem was.
Oh, okay. So that was what it was, is that he didn't want that to happen, I think, Kennedy. And they went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe that he would want, you know, the sitting president to be assassinated. but I don't think that he also was in complete approval about DM. DM was handpicked by the Vatican, and then
yeah.
he was groomed by a priest in New York, Cardinal Spellman. That's
yeah,
why they
Cardinal
called
Spellman, yeah.
They
and,
called Vietnam Spellie's War. It's been nicknamed
Yeah, they
Spellie's
called it
War.
Spellie's War, but... The you know, if you go and do, you know, it might sound outlandish, but if you go, you can, the history is there that Kennedy was going to pull back and he wasn't going to escalate the war. I think he wanted to disband the CIA also.
Yes, because Alan Dulles, he figured out the Dulles brothers were major enemies. He knew their background, the Dulles brothers, and I found out more about the huge... All the troubles that they've caused us even today. They're responsible for Iran. They're responsible for problems in Latin America. They try to overthrew sitting president, I believe, of Guatemala. They helped to overthrow the sitting president in Iran. Any place, and when they weren't working for the government, and they were working for private industry. So there you see that. You know, that combination that was talked about, that Eisenhower warned us about, but both of these men worked for under Eisenhower. Perhaps this is what gave him the glimpse of just how dangerous this was. He knew what they, you know, probably what these men were doing. They were extremely powerful, and one was Secretary of State, and one was,
yeah.
you know, developing the CIA, and they were both very scummy people.
If you notice, I think it was William Colby, too, that did he come after? And then if you look into this, too, it's kind of strange that some of the heads of the CIA, they die these strange deaths. You know, he goes out on
right.
a boat and he never comes back.
Right. I recall that. Sure.
Yeah. There was a biography on... a few months ago about William Colby. It was very, very interesting. And I think there was another guy, a former CIA head, that had a similar accident in a boat. So, but the story then about the war in Vietnam, so then Kennedy didn't want to escalate the war. The generals and whoever, the powers that be, and also I do believe the Catholic Church had something to do with it because they wanted Vietnam to be evangelized. They actually were murdering the Buddhist monks.
Right. And the monks began, murdering themselves. They
yeah.
self-immolated. I mean, there's that. I don't know how many did that, but that's obviously a very...
Yeah, now that's something
picture.
I didn't understand at the time. I was only a teenager, but we saw them actually setting themselves on fire in protest of what was happening. So there was a lot of news at the time. I never understood the war in Vietnam. I didn't know what it was all about. It was weird to me, then there was so much, there was a lot of protest. People didn't want to, you were drafted at the time. You didn't have a choice. So you were a certain age. You had to go and fight whether you wanted to or not. You were 18, you were going.
Right.
And so imagine that. You go and you don't even have a choice. And the conscientious objectors or whoever wanted to object, they had to go to Canada or they were arrested. It was quite a time, really. But I know there was a new book that was written recently by Jerome Corsi, I think.
Yes.
And what was his take on the whole thing?
Well, I'm sorry, I haven't read the book, but he's quite a writer. I mean, that's one book too that I need to read.
Yeah, he is quite a writer.
And
I know I had
here.
Heard him being interviewed, but there's so many hundreds of books that have been written about the event. Like I said, there's people that really know what happened, whether or not we'll ever really know. And
the documentation speaks volumes. and even but the reaction of the American people, especially the young that were being asked to go and sacrifice their lives, they knew that the war stunk. They knew that there was something wrong with what had happened, you know, with Vietnam. It was not a righteous war. It was not a war that was necessary whatsoever. And it damaged the country for – it's still damaged.
Damaged. And, of course, there was the Agent Orange. I had two friends. One friend actually died of kidney cancer from being sprayed with Agent Orange. And another friend lost a kidney to cancer. He's still living from being sprayed with Agent Orange, where they were actually spraying and defoliating the forests in Vietnam so they could see what they were doing. And
this cabal complex that we're talking about, the reason why talking about Kennedy is so important, especially in view of what's happening today, is that, in my opinion, this cabal is on steroids now. It is gone exponential. Thank God, as a Christian, knowing all these things, we have someone to turn to who is much more powerful. I believe that right now that, in fact, President Obama is being exposed for what he is. It's very obvious. His numbers are going down. He's being exposed as being I'll call it prevaricator, you know, where he's told to get that Obamacare through. He lied through his teeth, obviously, to tell, you know, say, if you like your you know, what you have, you can keep what you have.
Yeah,
but,
sure. Well, I want people to know that. My parents are both elderly, and they had Medicare along with – they had some private insurance from when they worked. But their deductible – went up from $300 to $1,600 each.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So they try to tell you
that.
You know, well, they try to tell you that it wasn't going to cost you any more money. These are old people. So it's not only them that it's happening to, but we can expect to see the premiums go up and up and up, and then you have to have this thing.
Well, the projection is that 50 million people are going to lose their current plan. I'm sorry, sorry out there to be the bearer of really bad news. You got to trust God above all.
Well,
you know,
above all, you better trust God because only Jesus can heal you. And so
we also, you know. Important thing that I would love to say to everybody that's listening, and I know I believe that you would agree with this, we can as Christians ask God together corporately to change this, to expose evil and to roll back until at least the time that the Lord comes for the church to begin to roll back and expose evil. I believe right now it's pretty clear to me the writing is on the wall. The president, basically the emperor, has no clothes. Getting more and more obvious to even his most, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I don't think that it's going to matter because it's already. You see what's happened even in the church where someone commits adultery now, or someone falls into homosexuality, or it's not such a shock to people anymore. They just get up the next day and they're back on TV. They're back doing the same thing. So. 20 or 30 years ago, wow, that person would have to sit down for a while and get some counseling and get some church discipline. But the way things have become now, it's like you're the bad person for telling the truth. Don't tell us. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear good things. We want to hear about prosperity. We want to hear that we're important. And we want to hear smooth things. Just tell us smooth things. So it's kind of the same way. I don't spend a lot of time worrying about government conspiracies. I know it's true, and I know that there's so much out there because I know God has a government, and we win in the end. So no matter what happens, we win. And
I believe that we have power, though, to, you know, spiritual power to petition the Lord. Obviously, even the Bible, there's a verse, I forget what psalm it is, that we can even pray to have a ruler or someone removed. Ask God, petition God to have someone removed. I'm not saying that, you know, I'd want to see any harm come to anybody. Obama is the tip of the iceberg. What we were exposing here, what's been exposed here during this time, we're talking about Kennedy and the thing that happened back then, is that there is a whole subculture that is dangerous and works it. You know, it reminds me of Ephesians. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities,
yeah,
against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. But it doesn't mean that we have to just sit back and say, oh, well, you know, this will happen. In fact,
oh, yeah,
in this case,
I mean, the thing is, God does put people in power, and so he put the leadership in power that's there now for a purpose. And
well, we're getting the leadership that we deserve, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but
we
God's
get
people. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, that is very important. We have power in the name of Jesus if we agree. You know, it's not that everything's going to turn around right away, but, you know, obviously when there's just a small portion, a remnant, God will save a nation. When there's been
there is a small portion. But I believe that the church is the nation. You know, we're the nation within the nation.
Right.
And so as long as God's people are here, then there's light and salt. And, you know, the Bible says that we're to pray for those that are in authority over us. And
we
in my lifetime anyway, I haven't ever seen what I witnessed when I was 14 and with what happened to John Kennedy, because we were in shock. I mean, you know, we couldn't believe it. And
but look at what they've done. Look at what they've done in other countries, though. I mean, they've invaded and killed millions of people. And starting with Vietnam, but going farther back than that, they were doing things like that. And look at what they're doing in the Middle East. And then
yeah. Well, the thing is, it doesn't, unless you live in that country and you're a citizen there, it means a lot more because you're there and you're witnessing it. It's like when we witnessed this event. To live during that part of history and to witness it, it leaves a lasting impression on you. And at the time, I don't think that we understood it because television wasn't that old either. You know, and there we were sitting glued to our TV sets, and they're taking Lee Harvey Oswald, moving him from one jail to another, and then he gets shot right before our eyes. We're watching
mm-hmm.
television.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets shot right in front of us. And we can't believe it. We're sitting there, the whole family around the TV set with our mouths open. Like, what is going on?
And
you know, we couldn't.
The loose ends.
It was, yeah.
Sorry.
And then,
they were eliminating the loose end.
Yeah. And it was like one horror thing after another. It was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable time.
Absolutely.
And,
it was the beginning of a very public mourning that went into something that deeply changed the country forever. And,
yeah, really it did,
yeah.
Because I never want to see anything like that again, ever, ever.
Well,
It was the worst.
It was the worst, but I hate to be a Debbie Downer, because my hope and your hope obviously is in the same place. You know, we know that the Lord wins not only in the end, but I think, you know, we're going to see some miraculous things happen soon. I believe the Lord can brings deliverance to individuals and to churches. But, you know, I also see a lot of, obviously I've experienced extreme evil in churches that you would think that are supposed to be evangelical. You know, the one
well,
that helped.
You can't believe that people are being arrested in churches. That I've heard several stories. One basketball player, Nick Vanderland, and he was attending a Calvary Chapel in California, and they were having this fake guy, Ergen Kaner, as a speaker who was discovered to be a liar and a fraud, and he had warned the pastors about him, and anyway, they brought him in anyway. And when Nick found out that he was going to be there at a service, he said the Holy Spirit told him to go. And when he got there and the guy started to speak, he stood up and said, "You're a liar." And when he stood up, and now he had been attending this church for several years, and when he stood up and protested, the Calvary Chapel pastor and the others went and they accosted him and handcuffed him and had him arrested.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yep.
And then they pressed charges against him. And what was his crime? Standing up and calling the liar a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that is pretty strong stuff. That happened to a friend of mine also, where she was attending a Baptist church and opposed something that they were doing, and they told her not to come back on the property, that if she came back, she was going to be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are people that go to church, that have been going to these churches for years, several years, and they're known to the pastors, and they're threatening them with arrest?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not committing a crime. And Nick Vanderland, you could see the video on YouTube if you go there, Nick Vanderland and Calvary Chapel.
I can't believe a Calvary Chapel did that.
It was a Calvary Chapel. Yeah, I think it was actually Chuck Smith's church. Brian Broderson, I think, was the pastor that was there. So they, even after the event, they continued to press charges against him, and he had to go to court. Of course, the judge threw it out because he committed no crime. But they could have dropped the charges, but they decided to go ahead. In other words, they were putting out the message there, don't come here and protest. If we want to bring a false prophet here or a false teacher, stay away. Don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, you too will be arrested. So,
well, you're identifying a very fascist spirit, which I've discerned is running through a lot of churches. You know, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But where there is a spirit of control, there's fascism. It's that spirit of control. It's a spirit of Pharaoh, of control. A lot of pastors are, unfortunately, get into that instead of the spirit of liberty, of the true Holy Ghost, you know, spirit of grace, you know, the attributes of Jesus. They instead get into this power trip and almost mercenary kind of tactics. It's very disturbing to me.
Oh, well, it's very disturbing. Very disturbing. I found I had a woman on a few weeks ago that had attended a church, and after she left, she put up a blog about her, what happened to her at the church, and the pastor sued her. And he sued her, and he made her hire an attorney, because if she didn't counter the suit, she would lose and have to pay him. So she had to spend, the other people that were involved had to spend over $60,000 on attorney's fees. And, of course, the pastor lost because, you know, how do you sue somebody for putting up a blog? I mean, come on. So, we've seen a slow descent. And we see the spirit of the world has come into the church. And anyway, we just have a few minutes left here, but if people want to get any more information, you can do the research on the internet about the John F. Kennedy assassination, the JFK Jr. plane crash. There's quite a bit of information about that. And his speeches on YouTube, some of the videos from Dallas on that day, which are horrific. And will we ever know? You know, probably not in this lifetime. No. Maybe in the life to come we'll know what really happened, but it might not matter then. But anyway, thank Paul, God. I want to thank you for being with me today.
My privilege.
Great to talk with you again. And
thank you.
Yeah. God bless you, dear brother. Thank you so much for coming on, okay? And we'll be
bless
talking.
You. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, everybody. Bye-bye. I want to thank you for being with me today. And this timely subject, anyway, we know that God is in control. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, give your life to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Repent. And ask him to come into your life and change your life, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ said you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, but you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and he rose and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. No matter what's going on in the world, we have a hope, a blessed hope. And so I want to thank you all for coming by today. Thank you, everybody in the chat room that's here. And God bless you for stopping by and listening. Thank you so much for your support. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.